Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. To put this beautiful story into its context, something that happened in the house of Mary and Martha, we have to look back to the solemn words in Luke 9:51. As the time approached for him to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Everything in the next 10 chapters in Luke is set on that journey. That journey that Jesus makes to the very gates of Jerusalem. If Luke's gospel is the story of that journey to Jerusalem, then his second volume in the Acts of the Apostles under the gift of the Spirit is the journey from Jerusalem to Rome. But as we read, we do not always feel that there is movement or a journey taking place, nor are the details of great significance to that journey always. But the emphasis is on the theology of that journey, in this case in the Gospel, to Jerusalem. The goal, the climax of the ministry of Jesus. The focus of his life is on his suffering, death, resurrection and ascension in Jerusalem. The journey is up to the city. The passion and the resurrection see Jesus raised up, up on the cross and up from the dead. And the ascension sees him exalted up into the presence of the Father. But the journey to Jerusalem is interrupted. First, it's interrupted by the lawyer who asks a question about his neighbor. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, contrasting the Samaritan with the priest and the Levite. Love your neighbor is one part of the summary of the commandments. So what about our search for the other part of the summary of the commandments? Where is love God? Well, it seems to me that here it is in the account of Jesus' visit to Martha and Mary, because the journey is interrupted by that visit as well. Two sisters, presumably already known to Jesus. And the conflict between the two sisters takes center stage, the one contrasted with the other. Martha is distracted by the sudden need for hospitality. She wants to honor Jesus with an elaborate meal. Mary, on the other hand, is oblivious to the needs of food or cooking or tidying up or doing the dusting. She just sits listening at the feet of Jesus. Martha, like the lawyer in the previous episode, wants to be in control, to do and say the right thing. But on the whole journey section of Luke's Gospel, the emphasis is on the need to listen to the Lord. Only by doing this will the disciples be able to follow in the way. The Gospel continues with the teaching of Jesus on prayer, with also some warnings and woes, encouragement and signs, and later a number of other parables. Now, I dare say that most of us are neither pure activists or pure contemplatives. We try to hold in balance our activity and our prayer, our work and our stillness. What the episode in the house of Mary and Martha seems to be indicating is the need for obedience, a priority that can only be found in the discipline of silence and stillness and listening. So the one thing that is needed is listening. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. So if this were a contemplative exercise, we could imagine that we are there in the house of Mary and Martha. We could imagine what it would be like to be there. Is it hot or is it cold? Is in fact the face of Jesus rather like paintings by Caravaggio, shining and bringing light to this room? We can imagine what it was like to find Martha bustling around and Mary patiently sitting at his feet. Martha, Martha, only one thing is needed. So then we might take this same saying deep down within ourselves. Here we are on this retreat. I can't tell what is on your mind in terms of anxiety or worry, fear or anger, or perhaps the opposite of those things, joy and delight, peace and hope. But in these days of rush and energy and tension and activity, there seems to be so little time to think or to listen. Clergy and bishops and others hurry from conference to conference with bulging briefcases, stuffed with agendas and things to say and do. At a more mundane level, you and I are worried or tense or anxious, angry perhaps, fearful. How are we to get through? Will I ever be able to finish this? I have no time to think. People are putting too many things onto my plate. The cries are loud and insistent. So much so that it's hard to listen, to attend to the divine voice. Whenever a word or phrase is repeated in the scriptures, it's usually designed to give a special emphasis to what follows. So in, for example, St. John's Gospel, we hear the words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," and we are to attend to what is said next. In Isaiah 55, you'll notice the repetition of the word come, come. It's always worth watching out for these repetitions. And here, Martha, Martha. Listen to your own name being repeated and being spoken directly to you. Adrian, Adrian, sit down, be still, listen. Jesus said at the feeding of the 5,000, make the men and women sit down. And the psalmist wrote, be still and know that I am God. That is why we are here in this retreat, in this contemplative exercise. We have space, we have time, we can sit and listen. Martha, Martha, only one thing is needed. But now replace that, as we have our time of silence together, replace that with your own name. Listen to Jesus repeating your name. That can be electrifying spiritually in itself. But then adding, only one thing is needed. Your own name, John, John. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed.